We appreciate you being here today. Listen, I want to give you some confidence to go through the rest of the week. I want you to listen to this passage here, and it's very appropriate for us today to think about this passage. In Genesis, the 9th chapter and verse 11, has nothing to do with my lesson, so don't worry about it. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all the flesh be cut off by the water of the flood. Nevertheless, or never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. I just want you to, I don't want anybody to be upset with it raining so hard right now. Now, it could flood here, but it's not going to flood the whole world. So we can just relax and take it easy, can't we? And we need to. I hope you have people that love you, and I hope you love other people. That's something that we have to have in this world. Sometimes people act like they don't want anybody to love them, but really what they're doing is trying to get people to show that they love them a little bit more. I had a lady at one congregation. She was just so stiff, I'm telling you. And I'd go up and hug her. And it was like hugging a post for a while there. She didn't do anything and like, okay, don't touch me again. Well, I thought that was a challenge, and I kept hugging her. And finally, she got to hugging me back. And I'd tell her I loved her. I don't know if she ever told me she loved me. But we need to show love for other people. And the lesson today is talking about that if we don't show love, we may not have love. We may not understand love. I've had some men before say, well, you know, I told my wife I loved her when we got married. That was 40 years ago, and I still love her, and I hadn't changed my mind. Do I have to say that every day? Yeah. You need to confirm it for her and for your own self. We need to show love. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to say you have it, but another thing for you to show that. And that's what we're understanding today. God has shown His love for us. And He's done it in so many ways. Jesus has shown His love for us. And it should help us to understand. If we want to learn how to love other people, we need to open up God's Word and find out what God's Word has to say about that so that we can understand how to love other people. God loves us. John 3 and verse 16, a passage that most everybody knows of all of Christendom, the people that believe in the first four books of the gospel, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, doesn't make any difference who you are, doesn't make any difference where you are, doesn't make any difference if you're a sinner or not, that God sent His Son to die for whoever would be willing to follow Him. And listen to this. He even loves those that will not follow Him. He cares for them. God does not hate anyone. He cares for people. Now certainly, don't take that to mean that God is going to love you and He'll just take you any way that you are, any way that you live your life. Some people look at it that way, as though God will just, He'll just love you no matter what you do. That's not the case. God wants us to be willing to follow Him and love Him because He cares for us. The only love that is known is love that is shown. Now, God has shown His love, John 3 and verse 16. He's manifested His love so that we could understand that. God has shown His love in that He calls us His sons, His children. That's what He's trying to say to us. In John 1 and verse 12, He says, for as many as that have received Him, He gave them power, strength, might to be called His sons. Now that's an editorial son. It means both men and women. He said He's given us power that we are sons of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. It doesn't make any difference. If you're willing to follow His will, He will take you as His child. And it's not based upon all the things that we do. It's based upon His loving us. In fact, we're going to look at a passage a little bit later. It says that this thing of love is something that God established. We didn't do it. And so we've got to look at God's love for us, and hopefully that will change us. God has done so many things to say, I love you. He's done so many things to let people in the world know that. He's done so many things for us in the church to know that. And He's showed that love to us. He's manifested to us. The love of God is seen by the fact that everything that we have is given to us by God. Now just think about that. In Genesis 1, God created the world. Why did He create the world? Why did He make the world? You know why? He made the world so we would have a dwelling place. That's what He wanted. That's what He desired more than anything else. I was supposed to push that button a while ago. I got so many things in my pocket. I'm a boy. You're supposed to have a lot of things in your pocket. He has this love for us, and He has manifested in creating the world that we live in. He's made all of it so that we would have a dwelling place there. Listen to James 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift, every complete gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light. Now listen to this last part. Sometimes we don't see this last part. With whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. He's saying God is consistent. Now, we live in the United States. Our power is consistent. I remember going to a mission work in I think it was the Caribbean. And we were there and the lights went out. And when the light goes out, the water heater goes out. Have you ever taken a shower for a week in cold water? It doesn't take much water. I wish I'd have understood that when my kids were coming up. I could have saved a lot of money just go cut the hot water off. They wouldn't sit in there for an hour and a half and take a shower. But we were in this country and the power went off. So like Americans, we called and said, okay, when's it going to be back on? The guy said, well, the part's coming on a ship. And it should be here in about 3 weeks, I think. I'm going, 3 weeks? I'm only here a week. I had to go the whole week, cold showers. It'd go off in Romania. Sometimes the power would go off at like 10 or 11 in the morning and it would stay off for several hours because that's just the way it was. What this is saying is God doesn't cut His love off. God doesn't cut the power off. He doesn't cut the care and the concern off. It's not like us where, you know, I can say something to somebody, they get mad at me, they won't talk to me for a couple of days. Oh, that's not God. Let me tell you something. You can't say anything to God that will cause Him to love you less. Now, you think about that. Now, He may not appreciate it. He may not honor you because of it. But God is always there for you. He's constant. Maybe you've got this little saying thing that we have. We had one time in the bathroom, and it was saying there, God, you left me. We were walking on the beach together, and then there was only one footstep. Only that footstep there. The fellow assumed it was his. God says back, that's not your footstep. That's mine when I was carrying you. That's God's love for us. That's how much God cares for us. That's how much God wants to help us. He created, as I've already mentioned, this whole world. He created it for us. He made it a dwelling place for human beings, for those people that He loved. Everything that we have here helps us. We can go into space. We can go anywhere we want to. We can go to the depths of the sea, wherever we want to. But we've got to carry this thing that God has created for us with us. We've got to carry that air that we breathe into space, into water. We have to carry all those things there because He's created that for us. Listen, Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. He's saying, listen, you look up at the heaven and it says that here's God. They declare the glory of God and the firmament, those things around us, all those things here, the earth and everything we have, it shows the handiworks of God day unto day and speech night unto night reveals the knowledge. He's saying, look around you and you see God there. You see God's love there. Because of God's love, we live our lives. Because of God's love And because of His care for us, we're those people that are protected and guarded in a great way. Maybe not like we think. You see, we want to think guarding and protecting us is keeping us from the enemy here on this earth. That's not it. God's army is not that one of flesh and blood, but it's the one of the Spirit. God has the power to save the soul. People can do what they want to with the body, but God wants that soul, because the body, it comes, it goes. It's put in the ground, but that spirit, that soul of man, is continually there. And God wants that because it will last an eternity. All those spiritual blessings are there for us. Everything is there for us. Ephesians 1 and verse 1, every spiritual blessing that we have is found in Christ. All the blessings we have, all these blessings are the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us and making us right. All those things are found as a gift from God. Do you realize that? Do you realize that everything we have received from God? But now, look at this. How does Jesus Christ make His love known to us? You say, well, that's simple. John 3 and verse 16. Yes, that's it. But I want you to see that He has shown His love. It's not a matter of God saying, oh, I love you. And then all of a sudden we've got to figure out, well, you know, does He? Does He really love me? Yes, because He's shown it. Does Jesus Christ really love you? Yes, He's shown it. He showed it in Him coming and dying on the cross for that. He demonstrated His love for us and that He was willing to go to the cross for us. But now, look at some of these things up here, and I'm just going to mention some of these briefly. Jesus showed His compassion in Luke 7 and verse 13, that when He saw, He had compassion on this widow that was there. Now, somebody says, well, He was showing His power over this and over that. No, listen to this. He was showing that He cared for a little old woman who had lost her son. Was that going to change the world when He raised that young man up? Not really. Was it going to make the people around Him better? Maybe. Was it going to make it easier for this woman? Yes. But you know what? He was going to die again. When He was raised up, what He needed to do is look at those fellas and say, boys, keep that casket. I'm going to need it again. But Jesus had compassion on this mother. He knew what she was going to have to go through. And here He was trying to help her. But not only that, He showed His love for those that were lost. In Matthew 9 and verse 36, listen to what He says here. When He saw the multitude, He looked out and He saw a whole host of people. Listen to His thought. He was moved with compassion on them because they were like people scattered, like sheep that were scattered that did not have a shepherd. They didn't know which way to go. And here He was coming to say, I'll lead you. I'll guide you. Why? Because of His love for us. And we see mankind saying, we don't want to follow you. We don't want to go your way. We don't want anything to do with you. Jesus said, I still came to save you, no matter what. If God had known, and this is my opinion, okay? I'll just tell you what my opinion is. If God had known that only one person on this earth would have been willing to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He'd still send His Son. Jesus Christ would have known if He's only going to save one person that He would have come because of their love and their care for all of humanity. Now, God knows there'll be a lot of people that will obey the gospel. All of them, not at all. Remember, there's one gate that's really broad. There's another gate that's narrow. And few there be that find it. But He came anyhow. Why? Because of His love for us and His care for us, He wanted to do that. He wanted to show His love. And He demonstrated His love in so, so many ways so that we could understand that. Now, we talk about a father here and a sick child. Now, I want to quote to you what the NIV says about this because it adds a little more to the lesson. It said, take pity on us. Here's this father with a son that is sick. He says, take pity on us. Help us. And that's what Jesus Christ did. Let me tell you something. There's not a person that calls on Jesus Christ and says, help me, that they do not receive the help from Jesus Christ. Now understand this. It may not be help like you want. You may not understand it, but He's always there helping. He's always there for you, and He always will be there for you. He had compassion on lepers that would come up, and most of the people in the world, if a leper came near them, they would leave. They would get out of the way. In fact, the leper was supposed to scream out, you know, leper, so that other people would not get around them. But here's Jesus walking up to those fellas and healing them. Making them whole. Making those lepers whole because of that. He goes on to demonstrate. He demonstrated His compassion and His love for people in that He was the one that came to be the Messiah, that came to die on the cross for us. And we could go on and on and on showing how much He cared and how much He was willing to show that. He has done that in so many ways that it's just, we could spend the rest of the time just talking about Jesus and what He's done. He laid down His life for us. No man took it from Him. No man said, we're going to do this and you have no control over it. He had power over it. We sing a song about 10,000 angels could have been called to help. They could have been called on to deal with that and to help Him come down from that cross. They could have done that, but Jesus stayed there. He stayed there because of His love for us, because of His care for us. He laid down all that He had. Now, look at this. How do we show some of this love that we have for others? I hope you do this. I hope you're willing to do this. I hope you're willing to show your love. Don't just talk about it, but show it in actions. That's what people want to see. They don't want people just talking to them about, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. But show that. You can say, I love you, and then not help people. And that's not what we want. We need to be willing to say, I love you, and do something about it. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says there that we need to show our love. Husbands, show it to your wives. Wives, show it to your husband. And then he goes on here, as you can see up here, he says, fathers, you need to be willing to do it. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Mothers, you need to be willing to love your husband. Titus 2, and verse 4. It takes a lot sometimes, doesn't it, ladies? Okay? Can't say amen, pop them with that holy elbow. Let them know. That's true. Children, obey your parents. That's what we're supposed to do too. Why? Because they've been given the authority. No, because we love them. And what all they've done for us. We show that there. Now, granted, God did say that, children, obey your parents. But let me tell you, it's not just a command. It's saying if you don't do that, it's totally contrary to everything that is right and good. You need to learn to do that. You need to learn to care for them as they teach you what is right, as they help you to do what is right. Love your neighbor. Mark 12, verses 30 through 34. Treat them in the right way. Help them every way you can. And see, that's really where Christianity is. It's helping others, doing for others, living for others. And showing compassion and love for others. Showing it, not just talking about it, but helping them to see that, helping them to understand that. Now, last point. Do you get a raise if you get through early? Oh, forget that. How do we show God and Jesus Christ that we love them? You say, well, that's so simple. If it's so simple, why do we have such a hard time doing it? Some things are so simple that they tend to be complicated for us. But this is a simple thing. We need to be willing to show that. We are to be willing to love them because, according to 1 John 4 and verse 19, they loved us. And it says they loved us first. They didn't just love us because of what we could give to them. They loved us because they are people of love. God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and all of heaven is a place of love and care and concern for us. The Roman writer says when we were enemies, He still sent His Son to die for us, and His Son came and died for us. Because of His love that's shown to us, we should be willing to manifest that love back. I don't know about you, but if there's anything that bothers me, it's a child that will not show a love and a compassion for their parents to help them. It really upsets me. And you want to go over there and grab them by their ear and just twist that thing just a little bit. I know you can't do that, but that's what you want to do. Because they're not showing their parents that love. And listen to this now. Even if your parents don't love you, even if they don't show love toward you, you are to love them because you are a loving person, because you are a part of God. You say, I don't know if I can do that. It's not easy. But let me tell you something. God will help you to do it. God will help you to have every bit of that and to accomplish that. Now, this thing of loving God is not just saying the words. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, it says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of God. Let me change that just a little bit. Not everyone that says, Lord, I love you, is going to go to heaven. It's not going to happen. If you don't show that love, how do you do that, though? Let me tell you something. Today, you're willing to get out and come in the rain. You come when it's cold. You come when it's hot. You come when it's pretty. Why? Because you love the Lord. We observe the Lord's Supper, and we'll do that in just a little while. And the whole idea of this is to remember the love that God has for us. And we take it to show our love for God. We worship because not we're gaining something for ourselves per se. We are, but it's more to show to God how much we love Him. In the Old Testament, they offered those the sacrifices there to God, and they wanted God to see their sacrifices. They burnt these incense so that it would be something that God could smell. In fact, God talks about prayers. We don't think about this. But we show the love for God in our prayers. Because it tells us that they go up like a sweet-smelling savor to God. God likes to see that. God likes it when you come to church. God likes it when you study the Bible. You're showing your love for God when you deny yourself of things so that you can do what God wants you to do. You're showing the love of God that you have for Him. Now, on the opposite side of that, you're also showing you don't love God when you don't do those things. For a person to say, I love God, and then to neglect to come to His worship service that is for Him is a lie. It's a lie before God, and you're going to have to deal with that. You say, well, we're here. Why don't you tell those people that are not here? Okay, I'll tell the ones I know. You tell the ones you know, and maybe they'll understand it. To say we love God and not do His will is a bald-faced lie. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be a liar. I want to tell the truth. I want to serve God. I want to do what God wants me to do, no matter what. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, look at the conclusion here. And you can read this as well as I can, but I just want to mention just a little bit. God has shown the greatest love that could ever be for us. He has tried to help us to understand that in the giving of His Son. He gave the best that He had. How can we give any less? How can we give any less? Wouldn't you feel guilty if somebody gave you a wonderful gift and then you're going in your pocket saying, what have I got I could give? You gave me $1 million. Let me give you this pack of chewing gum. And you go, no, I don't want to. That would embarrass me to even give that little when someone's gave me so much. You see, it's not just that God commands. but it's that God loves us. And that means that we're going to do what He says. We're going to obey what He wants us to do because we love Him. We'll do these things. We'll follow these things. Jesus has shown His love by giving His own life for us. Is it strange for Him to say, "Hey, I want you to give your life for me. I want you to sacrifice your will and your way for me. I want you to give it all up for me." Is it too much of us? Or really, is it too much for God to ask us to do all the things we're supposed to do? The Bible says, you know, we do what we can do. We follow what we need to follow. But can we brag about it? No, we can't. What we've got to say is, "God, thank you for allowing me to give what I have." Our gifts to God are really filthy rags. But God accepts them because He loves us. Lynn and I are flying out tomorrow to go see some granddaughters. They've got pictures that they're office-looking things you've ever seen in your life. Ashton, the youngest one, she finally got the idea of putting the letters one after the other. She sent us a card. There was an A up here and an S over here. And she had all the letters. They just weren't in the row where they're supposed to be. But boy, I liked it. And Linda did too. It's great that she knows how to put them all in a row. But I'll take it if she just puts them on a piece of paper. And she doesn't even have to do that. If she'll just scribble something, I can see it. Because I love her. Because God loves you. He wants you to give Him what you have. He don't want just what you've got left over. But He wants the best that you have to offer. And I want to give Him the best that I have to offer. I want you to give Him the best you have to offer. Because He loved us. Oh, we got to love God. We got to care for God. We got to do what God wants us to do. So today, very simply, love God enough to repent of sins. Love God enough to confess those sins. Love God enough to repent of those sins. Love God enough to be immersed in water, if that's where you are spiritually, to have those sins washed and cleansed away. You love God enough today to be willing to repent of sins, to be willing to come back to the arms of Jesus, the arms of one that loves us and cares for us, and for Him to say, "I love you." I think of that. I think of that prodigal son when he came back and the daddy said, "Come here, boy. You smell bad, but I love you anyhow." Even when the elder brother came in, wouldn't even go into the party, the daddy came out on the porch there, and that's my throwing in there, okay? And he was almost literally begging his son to come in. God is begging us to follow Him. Let me tell you something. How in the world can we not? How in the world can we turn it down? How in the world can we not be willing to say, "I love you"? Now,